The portion of God's Word that we'll focus on this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Let's begin with prayer. In peace, Lord, let your servant now depart according to your word. For our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen. Steering wheels gripped white knuckle tight as drivers navigate interstates turned ice rinks. Anxious hours spent pacing by the window, anxiously awaiting the arrival of precious family cargo. Desperate suitcase laden sprints through the airport like you're starring in a Home Alone movie. Anybody have any stressful holiday travels over the last couple of weeks? We probably realize that holiday travel, and really travel in general, can be pretty stressful because of all the uncertain, unknown circumstances that can pop up. Will the roads get dangerous while we're driving? Will their car break down? Will my flight get canceled? And all of these unknowns, these uncertainties, they make our departures for travel some stressful endeavors, don't they? But really, it isn't just travel-related departures that are stressful. Tonight, we're going to be departing from 2017, journeying into a new year that at this point is full of unknowns and uncertainties. Unknowns that can make a departure into a new year a pretty stressful occasion as well. But think how much less stressed you would be. How much less fearful you would be about those journeys if before you departed, God made you a promise. A guarantee to you saying, you will arrive safely at your destination. Guaranteed. Promised. It would completely change the way that you viewed those otherwise stressful circumstances of the journey, wouldn't it? Yeah, I'm driving on icy roads and there are cars in the ditches all around me, but God promised. Yes, I only have 10 minutes to make my connecting flight, but God has promised. Yes, my son hasn't arrived home from college yet, and I think he should have by now, but God has promised. Yes, I might lose my job or a relationship or my health in 2018, but God has promised. See, trusting in the promises of God, we could depart, not shackled with fear or anxiety or uncertainty, but filled with peace for the journey. In Luke's gospel that we just heard read, we met a man by the name of Simeon, a man who had received a peace-producing promise from God. We're told there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And imagine the peace that that promise would have given to Simeon, even in times of trouble or uncertainty, to know that his eyes would not close in death before he had seen with his own eyes the promised and long-awaited Messiah. Unfathomable peace, right? And yet we don't have to look at Simeon's peace with envy, because it's our peace too. As we hear the promise that God makes to Simeon, we realize that God hasn't left us excluded. Out in the cold, by ourselves, venturing off in our departures with uncertainty or fear, because to us, the same promise has been revealed by God for peaceful departures. Fresh off of our Christmas celebrations, I'm pretty positive you probably have Luke's gospel Christmas account still on your hearts and minds. Once again, we were privileged to hear the amazing account of Mary's firstborn son, born in a stable and placed in a manger. the wonder of the angel appearing to terrified shepherds and proclaiming to them the greatest news that today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. And yet after Luke records for us the shepherds returning to their fields and flocks, rejoicing and praising God, he follows that up by fast-forwarding 40 days. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, where we find Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in our sermon text for today. The three in these family traveling to the temple in Jerusalem for two purposes: purification and presentation. First, for purification. According to the law of Moses, a woman was considered to be ceremonially unclean for a span of 40 days after she had given birth to a son, meaning she couldn't go and worship at the temple. And so it was required that after that 40-day span was over, that woman take an offering to the temple, a sacrifice of a couple of doves or pigeons that she could have sacrificed to make her once again ceremonially clean, so he could join in temple worship again. Purification. And the second purpose for Mary and Joseph going to the temple was presentation. The law of Moses also dictated that every Israelite family dedicate their firstborn son to lifelong service to God. And yet, God told the people that the Levites would carry out that role of doing the priestly temple work. And so God told the other tribes of Israel that they could offer what was called a ransom price, a small fee that they would pay to release their firstborn son from having to carry out priestly service. And so, eager to follow the Lord's instructions, Mary and Joseph dutifully make their way to the temple in Jerusalem to carry out those purposes. But if you think about it, there's some pretty beautiful irony in this picture. Jesus' earthly parents, going to the temple in Jerusalem and paying their 5 shekels of silver to exempt their firstborn son from priestly service, to exempt the one who would be the ultimate high priest, who would sacrifice not lambs or doves or pigeons, but sacrifice his very own self, so that all people could be cleansed of their sin. Paying this price for the one who would pay so much more than 5 shekels, but with his own life, so that all people might be exempted from eternal suffering in hell. For such a purpose, this child is born. But it's there at the temple that we meet this man, Simeon, who had received a promise from God that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Savior with his very own eyes. And we're told that Simeon was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Basically, we're told that Simeon was a believer who lived his faith. He trusted completely in the promised, long-awaited Messiah that would come to crush Satan's head, and he was anxiously awaiting his arrival. But that wasn't something that Simeon figured out for himself. We're told that the Holy Spirit was upon him. In fact, 3 different times in these first 3 verses of our text, the Spirit is credited with Simeon's faith and his actions. And that tells us that this is not a mystery that Simeon discovered for himself. Rather, this truth, this promise, it was revealed to him by God himself. And so on a seemingly ordinary day like any other, the Spirit moves Simeon to travel to the temple courts. And as he stands there, carefully observing the crowds bustling through the temple, his eyes come to rest on a 40-day-old baby boy, cradled lovingly in the arms of his mother. And there, just as God promised, with his own eyes, Simeon saw his faith realized. Take a moment just to soak in the beauty of this picture. See this elderly man rushing forward with this youthful, unrestrained joy, and with wrinkled hands, he scoops the child out of his surprised mother's arms, and he cradles him gently in his own, staring down into this baby's face with wide-eyed wonder and amazement. It's a beautiful picture. But don't lose sight of the unfathomable picture that we're seeing. This baby, he's God. God, who created everything in the world with his breath. God, who holds the entire universe in his hands, gently nestled in the crook of a sinful old man's tired arms. This is our God. This is the promise of God revealed before our very eyes. The unfathomable truth of the Lord Almighty made flesh. God Almighty becoming Emmanuel, God with us, willingly born of a virgin and clothed in mortal flesh and blood. It's the most amazing picture we could ever see. And because God revealed the truth to him, Simeon fully understood everything that he was seeing with his own eyes. As he stands there holding God's Son in his arms, he rejoices, he worships, not pointing to his own faithfulness or his own perseverance, but pointing to God's faithfulness, crying out his beautiful song of praise, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Now certainly that promise that God made to Simeon must have filled his life with so much peace on so many occasions. But I have to imagine that there were also times where that promise caused him to wonder and worry. As the days of his life marched on and as his death seemed to grow more and more imminent, I'm positive that Satan attacked him with doubts and fears. Maybe you just missed him. Maybe he's not coming. Maybe God lied to you. But as he stands here, holding and beholding the promise of God fulfilled, there is no fear, there is no doubt. There's only a complete certainty of a peaceful departure. And yet, we can pretty easily picture the confused looks that people were probably shooting Simeon's way as they walked past. The confusion, the strange looks they must have given him as he stood there rejoicing over a baby. In fact, it seems like Mary and Joseph even were a little bit taken aback by what he said about this child. And certainly there were hundreds of people who walked by that unassuming couple with their infant without giving it a second thought. And it's really not all that surprising, right? Because he's a baby. A human baby. And why would anyone put their trust in a human baby? It's really not all that surprising that so few people, other than Simeon and Anna, rejoiced in the presence of this child, because to everyone else, he was just a baby. It would be like if a cancer patient dying in the hospital made his way into the birthing wing and scooped up a newborn in his arms and rejoiced to everyone around him, This is the child who will one day grow up to cure cancer. And the families and the nurses around him might say, "Well, that's a nice thought, but how do you know? How can you really know what this child is going to grow up to be and do? And even if he is, how is that going to benefit you who will be long gone by that point?" Really, that's what's happening in the temple here. People completely failing to recognize Jesus for who he really was. In fact, as John's gospel tells us, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And we see that being carried out here at the temple. We see it carried out by his doubting disciples. We see it carried out in the hateful shouts of the Pharisees and those who wanted him to be crucified. People don't recognize Jesus for who he really is unless God has revealed him to them. And because of that, don't take for granted the amazing grace of God that he's revealed his Son to you, that he has allowed you to hear the amazing message of the angel to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds, proclaiming to us who this child is and what it is that he came to do. And that by his grace, he has allowed you to have faith that grasps and understands and trusts in who this child is and the peace that that gives you through faith in him. Don't take that for granted, because that's God's grace revealed to us. And yet we have to admit that we don't always put that understanding into practice very well, do we? You see, I should have no reason to doubt any of God's promises. If he kept his promise to send his Son to be the Savior of the world, then I should have no trouble completely trusting the promise that he makes, that he's going to make every single thing in my life turn out for my good. And yet, there are so many times when something happens in my life that doesn't follow my plan. And instead of trusting in the promise, the statement that, yes, but God promised, instead I start to grasp onto the doubts that Satan pours in my heart. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe God is falling asleep on the job. Maybe God isn't even there at all. I so quickly forget the amazing truth of God made flesh in Simeon's arms. You see, the problem is we so often recognize Jesus, but we fail to take to heart who he really is and to apply that and what that means to our lives. And so often when I fail to grasp those promises and take it to heart, it means that instead of my life being filled with constant peace, instead it's filled with a lot of white-knuckle fear and doubt. But that's why it's so vitally important that God continuously and continually reveals Christ to us again and again and again. That's why Simeon could be so confident in the peace that was his through this child. Because God had revealed who this child was. And this child would not grow up to be some sort of an example or a role model that would teach people how to earn salvation for themselves. He wasn't a political leader bent on restoring Israel's governmental power and filling people's bellies, because if that was who he was, then it wouldn't be peace. No, Simeon had complete and certain peace because this child that he was cradling in his arms, that he couldn't tear his eyes away from, as he says, that child was God's salvation. And that revealed truth gave Simeon complete and perfect peace for every single one of his departures. Because if God promised and kept his promise to send a Savior into the world, then certainly he also is going to keep his promise to give eternal life to those who believe in him. And so through faith, worked by the Spirit, Simeon could depart in peace. Depart in peace that day from the temple, even if the Romans were ruling, even if the religious leaders were self-righteous, even if his life was full of doubts and uncertainties, he could depart in peace because God had promised. And when he prepared for the day when he would depart his life on this earth, he could do so in peace because God promised. He could trust completely every one of God's promises because God had kept his promise to send that Savior and he had seen him with his very own eyes. And so can we. You probably recognize the song that Simeon sang as he held baby Jesus in his arms. We call it the Nunc Dimittis, Latin phrase meaning "you now dismiss." And we sing this song pretty regularly as part of our worship liturgy. But there are really two places where we sing it most consistently. Right after we get back from taking Lord's Supper. The time when we have held and tasted and touched Jesus' very own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Just as Simeon that day held Jesus in his flesh and blood, the Savior who would forgive all of his sins. And the second most consistent time we sing the Nunc Dimittis is in evening prayer services, as we prepare to depart another day of Jesus' grace with praise and thanksgiving. As we prepare to depart into sleep, trusting that God is going to preserve us through another night or take us home to heaven. We sing it after we have had God reveal his Son, our Savior, to us through his word. The Savior, the Word made flesh, who gives us perfect peace. Maybe you notice, though, that Simeon uses the word dismiss. And I find incredible peace and comfort in the fact that I am the object of that verb and not the subject. See, being dismissed is not something that I decide for myself, that I decide according to my will, or my thoughts, or my decisions. That's not how I depart. I depart when God dismisses me. And that gives me comfort because God knows perfectly what's best for me. And he knows when best to dismiss me because he has equipped and prepared me for anything that I'm going to face with that departure. And so today, as he dismisses us from his house to go back out into the world, we know that he has equipped and prepared us to live our lives in this world for him and to share the message with others. And as we prepare for the day when he is going to dismiss us from our lives in this world, we know and can trust that he is taking us home to our eternal rest in heaven. And so for every departure, in every dismissal, there is perfect peace. Because our eyes have seen God's salvation. And that means that we will arrive safely at our destination. It's a promise. Depart in peace, brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ. Amen. Please stand.